Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And it is my favorite time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the time of the year I think about all the time. I really love all things Christmas. And one of the reasons I love Christmas so much is because my granny put that in my heart. She really knew how to put her faith on display and to connect me always to the real meaning of Christmas. And so I can always feel like I can hardly wait with the anticipation, thinking of God sending his son to earth to as Emmanuel, as God with us, as God leaving the throne room of heaven and becoming a little baby to be among us. And that is just absolutely amazing. So today, our prescription for hope is all about reclaiming the beauty and the wonder of the season. Because no matter where you are in this Christmas season, if you love Christmas, you look forward to Christmas, or if there's some things in your life that just make Christmas difficult, whether that's family strain, whether that's financial worries that you have, whatever it is that you're facing, if it's a health crisis, we can reclaim the beauty and the wonder of the season. Because God came near to meet you where you are. And every year, as we put up the decorations and those lights go up and we start to hear the Christmas songs that are coming across the radio or in shopping centers or the grocery store, all of those things are great. But the truth is, something deeper really starts to stir in our hearts. We long for a Christmas that feels whole. We all want to have a Christmas that feels joyful, that feels peaceful, that feels full of meaning. And we may even start early in the season by saying, okay, this Christmas I'm going to do. We want to have laughter around our table. We want to have quiet nights of worship. We want to have that sense of awe that we once felt ourselves as Christians, as children, when we were staring at the manger scene. But somehow, our to-do list always seem to outpace our prayer list, and our calendars get crowded and our spirits get tired. And that's why today I'm so excited to welcome Cheryl Barker. She is the author of Christmas for the Heart, 25 devotionals reclaiming the beauty and the wonder of the season. I've got it here in my hands. You can see it on the video. It's a beautiful, charming book, but her writing, more importantly, is gently leading us back to what we're truly longing for. Not more doing, but really more dwelling. Not more gifts, but more grace. And she's got scripture and poetry and reflection and is helping us to rediscover the wonder of the Savior who came not into a perfect world for a perfect Christmas, but a cluttered, chaotic world that is just like ours. So I want you in this hour to just take a deep breath, to slow your heart, to calm your mind, to quiet your soul, and really talk about what it means to prepare room in our hearts for the King of Kings this Christmas. It is not too late to do that. And Cheryl, I'm so glad that you're here to give us this message of encouragement today.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I am happy to be able to share that you've summed up Christmas so well, you know, and so I'm happy to be here to join the conversation.
Well, Cheryl, I would love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners. Just tell them a little bit about you, about your faith story, and how God called you to write and to share the joy of Christmas with others.
Okay. Well, my faith story goes back a ways because I'm up a little bit in years now. So I was one of the lucky ones, you know, who was raised in a Christian home. And from the very beginning, my parents took me to church, you know, so there I began to learn about Jesus from the earliest age. And it wasn't long before I realized, you know, that I did those wrong things too, you know, when sin was talked about, you know, that I did wrong things, that I needed a savior. And so I was only 7 years old when I asked Jesus to come into my life and be my savior. And then was just really fortunate, like I said, to be raised in that Christian home where my parents just faithfully took us to church. I received faithful, you know, Christian instruction in the word, and came to know all throughout my growing up years, how important the Word of God is and prayer. And so by the time I was an adult, I was really lucky to have those spiritual disciplines kind of established in my life, and just personally be turning to the Lord for wisdom. And of course, there's been a lot of growth that's gone on all my life, when it comes to my spiritual walk. But I feel like I had that foundation laid, as a young girl. So that was, such a blessing.
Well, so praise God for that.
Yes. Yeah. Because not everybody gets that. In fact, I may be among the minority anymore, And yeah. But as I got older, well, I could tell you one thing that's kind of neat about during those growing up years, because it ties into the book. In seventh grade, my English teacher had us an assignment, was writing a poem, evidently, but I wrote my first ever Christmas poem as a seventh grader. And it may have been my first poem ever. I can't remember exactly, but I do know that the teacher and my parents gave that such high praise. It really impacted me. I thought, wow, it was called God in a Manger. And so that kind of stirred the little poetic part of me, and I, from here and there, I would write a poem lots of times just for fun. But as a young mom, I thought one Christmas, I thought I ought to write an original Christmas poem and put it in my Christmas cards. So I did that. And of course, my parents, they loved it. Well, everybody loved getting it. But the next year rolled around and mom and dad were like, well, are we going to get another Christmas poem? And I said, okay, and that's the tradition of writing an annual Christmas poem. An original poem was, has been going on for 40 years. And those have gone in my Christmas cards, my personal Christmas cards. And so one of the reasons that I wanted to write a Christmas devotional book later on, whenever I actually started pursuing writing, it's been like 30 years ago now, but my girls were junior in high school, sophomore in high school, that type of thing. But one of the reasons I wanted to write a Christmas book was to share my Christmas poetry more widely. And so this gives me an opportunity to do that. But more importantly, it just gives me the opportunity to provide a resource. That's what I want to do, provide a resource for people that will help them slow down during the Christmas season. Spend time reflecting on Christmas, spend time reflecting on the spiritual aspect, on Jesus, to draw close to Christmas, to come close to the manger and adore the babe, and spend some time in personal worship. And that's what I've enjoyed, that type of personal worship in Christmas and in every day of life, actually. But Christmas, that type of thing, and I want to help people experience that. Gosh, there are just so many, like you said, so many longings during the Christmas season. And they range from all the merry, happy stuff, the festive stuff that we all long for and everything, to the spiritual side, to that hole that's there. And, we long for that connection with the Lord. And so I wanted to provide a resource that could help people actually experience that kind of peaceful, joyful, wonderful Christmas. And also another strong desire of my heart is for those who don't know Jesus yet, that they might see a book called Christmas for the Heart and pick it up the front door. The publisher got it perfect. B&H Publishing got that front cover perfect. Just a welcoming, come on in, And for those who don't know Jesus, that it could be a way to introduce them to him and cause them to think about, well, do I know this Jesus yet? And actually through some of the poetry and some of the things in some of the chapters, offer an invitation to give him their hearts. So that's another, it's to help believers, but also to help unbelievers.
Well, Cheryl, I find so many encouraging things about your story. First of all, praise God for your parents who were faithful, who raised you in a Christian home, who introduced you to Jesus early. And that is so encouraging for those maybe even who didn't grow up like that, who weren't blessed in that way, but are now, even by the very nature of listening to this program, I know they are chain breakers. They are cycle disruptors. They are making a different way forward. And that is always encouraging to know. And for the parents who are doing that hard work, to know that that seed, those seeds that they planted in you have now grown and their fruit that is blessing so many other people. One of the other things I found really encouraging about your story that you shared just now, Cheryl, was you sharing even in seventh grade that you just wrote a poem and didn't think much about it, but that your parents praised it so much that it got your attention, and clearly you trusted them. You trusted what they said, and if they said it was good, then you believed that it was good. And now that has grown to be a ministry of poetry, of writing, that is blessing so many other people. And so I hope that parents are listening and will take that to heart and will realize that those words that they say to their kids when they may draw a picture or write a story or create some poetry, those ways that you have to shape their ministry is so, so, so important. So I really appreciate you sharing that. I think that's really beautiful. And then to know that your heart is just to give a resource for people who do want that silent night, who do want that Christmas that is focused on faith. This book really is so beautiful. I'm picturing myself sitting beside my fireplace and my Christmas tree, even though, you know, I have a fireplace. I live in Texas, Cheryl. I don't ever need a fireplace, but there's something cozy about it. I want to sit and just having that discipline, that really just to sit down for a few minutes each day and to refocus our hearts and our minds. And so what do you see, Cheryl, as some of the things that just get in the way? Like we all want to have that. Just we have that longing in our heart, but then life crashes in. What do you see as some of those ways that we're distracted today from celebrating the true meaning of Christmas?
Well, for so many people, and it's so easy to fall into, are just the pressure-packed schedules we end up putting ourselves through during the holiday season. So that's one thing that can really get in the way. It's tough to say no to some things. Another thing that gets in the way a lot is just like the disillusionment of the season that people experience because of the commercialism. I've heard many people mention that, you know, and you kind of get to that bah humbug type of, you know, some people are experiencing that. Another thing, and you mentioned how you just love everything Christmas. I'm kind of like that too, you know. And so for a lot of us, that's how we feel. It's a desire and a drive to do it all, you know, to do everything Christmas. And so that can even get in the way. I mean, it's a good, you know, it's a good thing, but it can get in the way when it becomes too much, you know, and we put too much pressure on ourselves. And then another thing that can get in the way, which you also mentioned, are the discouraging life situations that many are going through, because life does not come to a beautiful standstill during the holidays. You know, life marches on and people are faced with some pretty tough things, some that are so hard that it blows everything else out. You know, it becomes the only thing you're immersed in, like grieving times and things like that. So there are they're disappointing, discouraging, grieving, all types of things like that that can happen that can get in the way of the type of wonderful, joyful type of celebration we want. But even for people who are going through those tough times, I'm hoping that my book can be a moment of reprieve for them. You know, if they'll pick up a book and read a short entry every day, that it will minister to them in some way and be a comfort to them. And in fact, I have one friend who was kind of like an early reader of the book, and she's going through a hospice care with her dad right now and caring for him. And she says, it's such a comfort. The book is such a comfort. And so, well, Cheryl, that was encouraging.
I want to hear much more about that. We are already at our first break, believe it or not. But even in just the few minutes that I have sat with you, you have reminded me of the true meaning of Christmas. And it's so good to reset our minds and reset our hearts. You can do that with Christmas for the Heart. And we'll be right back with more from author Cheryl Barker.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back, friends. That is Too Good Not to Believe by Brandon Lake and Cody Carnes. And you know what is too good not to believe is the real story of Christmas, of God sending his son as a baby to be near to us, to be God with us. And when we think about Christmas, we think of it many times. It's marketed to us as the most wonderful time of the year. But often it is just the most stressed, the most worrisome, the most hectic, the most disappointing time of the year because of the pressures that we put on ourselves, because of the ways that we try to make it into something that it's not, the ways that we just are juggling shopping lists and school programs and travel plans and expectations that honestly would exhaust even Santa himself. Well, you know, we'll leave it there. Somewhere in the noise, we really are losing sight of the holy. But let me tell you something. The first Christmas was noisy and it was chaotic, but there was also stillness in there. There was the stillness of a baby's cry. And my guest today, Cheryl Barker, wants to help us recapture that holiness that is in Christmas. And her new Advent devotional, Christmas for the Heart, is inviting you to slow down, to savor the season with some scripture, with some reflection, with some heartfelt poetry that, as we learned in the first segment, was born out of a seventh grade when she first wrote her first poetry, and her parents praised that and planted the seeds that are now blessing us today. And all of these things point us back to Jesus, the gift that never fades and the hope that never fails. And so if you have ever wished that you could trade the chaos for calm and the glitter for genuine worship, this conversation is here to remind you today that Christmas is not something to survive. It is someone, is the real person of Jesus Christ to celebrate. And just this little simple book, it doesn't matter if your tree is up or not. It doesn't matter if your house is a mess or not. It doesn't matter if you've finished wrapping or not, it doesn't matter. All of those more serious things that are going on, just this, and this is a tool, a resource, as Cheryl has shared with us, that is to point you back to Jesus and to the real meaning of Christmas. And Cheryl, I want to talk about that longing. You were just sharing a story about, you know, one of your friends who's going through something really, really hard with hospice, I think you said, of her, with her father. And so often, you said it so well, Cheryl, you know, Christmas doesn't stop at all of the things that are happening in life. You know, we think like, oh, life is just going to pause so we can have this magical Christmas, but life goes on and life is messy and life is hard. And so we long for this perfect season, but really that's a sign of a deeper longing. What do you think the human soul, what is that longing that we have at Christmas? What is that really about?
Well, we're longing for an abiding joy. The everlasting light that Jesus brings, because we do think, well, Christmas can fix whatever I'm feeling right now, you know, and it's like we put all these hopes and expectations on it. But what we're really longing for is that relationship with the Lord. It can only be found in Jesus. Abiding joy, everlasting light can only be found in a relationship with the Lord and in trusting Him throughout our lives, through daily life.
That is so very true. And so how have you done that personally, Cheryl? How do you nurture your relationship with the Lord so that it'll get you through whatever it brings for Christmas? I know I used to, you know, when I was a young mom, a young wife, I would put all of these pressures on Christmas, and it was hard because I had a lot of strained family relationships. And then, like you said, life just happened. There were a lot of things that happened that were difficult at Christmas. And somehow I would feel like I had failed my family somehow if I had things that I was struggling with, or I wasn't able to provide for them the perfect Christmas. And learning to let go of that and to hold on to the Lord through whatever Christmas looks like. Some years are going to look different than others. Some years are going to be easier, more joyful than others. Some years are going to be more put together than others. But just knowing it is that, like you said, that abiding joy in Christ. How are ways that you nurture your relationship with the Lord to get you through whatever Christmas might bring?
Well, basically it's spending time with Him. You know, it's a life. It's the way you live your life, of taking time to spend time with Jesus every day. For me, I'm talking to Him just a little bit before I ever get out of bed, you know. And every day as I get up and kind of start going through my morning routine, I might sing a few little praise choruses as I go, you know. And if you're not, you know, if you are faced with tough stuff, which very often I am, and I know everyone is, but that can help put your mind where it needs to be to start the day. Put your mind on the Lord. So just even, you know, some casual things like that. But then I always, you know, make it a priority to have a personal time with the Lord, a little more focused time than that, just singing praise courses, you know, as I go. But to have that more focused time with the Lord, of really having some personal moments of worship. For me, it includes singing, because I love to sing. That's just me. But for other people, it might be something different. But I might sing a song or two, and then also have words of praise. And then sometimes during that time, it's praying through the tears, because there are some heavy things going on, and it's praising Jesus through the tears. And just out of obedience, you know, you're praising and Lord, and praying at the same time. You praise, and Lord, help me, and He sees the tears. And I think those are probably some of the most precious moments to the Lord, when we will praise Him through our tears and through the tough times. So just the personal worship time, but also reading my Bible, having some time of reading my Bible and Bible study. It's all time of my, like you hear it referred to as quiet time with the Lord, and Bible study. Part of that, lots of times, depending on the weather, I'll go outside, you know, nature, worshiping God in nature is, and just acknowledging Him and having those moments. Lots of times we're so busy when we're outside, we don't think, but if it can be part of our quiet time, when we just even poke our heads out the door and just think, you know, rejoice in the Creator of the world, that can be another way. Something else that I've done that I think really helps draw me close to the Lord is memorizing scripture. I've done that at various times throughout my life. You know, it's planted in your heart and your mind. The Holy Spirit uses that and brings it to mind then as you need it. So that's another thing. And I mean, these are a lot of what you would call disciplines, you know, of the spiritual life, and church attendance and being part of a Bible study group. All of those things nurture my relationship to the Lord. And then when Christmas rolls around, you know, that's part of my life. And so it just naturally is part of my life to want to spend time with Jesus during Christmas too. You know, it springs from something that's already natural and established. So I think, you know, that's something that whether it has to do with the holidays or not, we as believers we need to maintain that close walk with the Lord, even during those tough times when we don't feel like it and our faith is wavering, you know, just be there with him, you know, and tell him what's going on, and in the good times, be able to rejoice and immerse yourself in the Word. I cannot tell you how much the Word has meant to me in my life, how important it is to me, how much encouragement, comfort, guidance, direction that I found there. You know, it's like a lifeline. In fact, I wrote a poem at one time, I think it was called The Lifeline, and it was about the Word of God. And so the Word of God is something that's been very important in nurturing my relationship with him.
Well, you know, these are things that we've been talking about on this program all year, 52 Habits for Healthy Families. Every Friday, we talk about a different healthy habit that is essential. And when we started back in January, those core first habits that we explored were all about spiritual disciplines. And I think people hear the word disciplines, Cheryl, and they immediately kind of think, oh, that sounds unpleasant. But what you're describing is anything but unpleasant. When we get into the Word of God, when you spend time with the Lord, your soul starts to crave it more and more. And it is not a chore. It is not a checklist. It really is. It's a blessing to be in God's presence. And one of the things I would encourage our listeners to do that you just brought up, Cheryl, that's so important, is going outside. Leave your phone inside. Leave all of the devices inside. Go on a walk. Now, I know that sometimes kids in Gen Z and Gen Alpha can get really anxious. I know when their grandparents go out on a walk without a phone, they'll say, but what if, you know, you have an emergency or you need to get in touch with somebody? Well, you can go in your backyard without the distraction of a digital device. And maybe you have just a paper book here that's a resource, or maybe you just have your Bible. Maybe you have some sort of Advent devotional, and just spending time with God, asking him to speak to you, because I have found in my life, Cheryl, that he honors that request. When I say, ask God, speak to me through your word, God, I'm listening. And I just show that little simple posture of obedience. He is so faithful to fill in that void, to speak into that void, to minister to my spirit. And I think anybody who says, oh, well, we don't have time for that, you know, just take a look at how much time you're spending on your screens. And I feel like that excuse has gone out the window. And so often, Cheryl, as you and I have both talked about, we put so much pressure on ourselves to create these, you know, this perfect Christmas. And it's well-intentioned, right? It's not a bad thing to want to create the best Christmas that we can. But I remember one Christmas in particular where I was, you know, running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to get to all the parties, do all the things, get all the perfect things, and just make this perfect Christmas. And he looked at me and he said it with all the love in his heart, but he said, no one is putting pressure on you to do this except you. And actually, what you're delivering to us is a very harried, frustrated, you know, overwhelmed, like irritable mom, because I'm trying to do all of these things and you're not even appreciating it in the way that I think that you should appreciate it. What do you feel about those pressures that we put on ourselves and that feeling of panic? And so much of it is so self-inflicted, where our family just really wants the gift of our time. And they don't remember every single present they ever got, but they remember that time where we burned the Christmas cookies, and that's a funny memory now. All of those things that God can use. How do you fight those pressures, Cheryl?
I think the main thing is to try to simplify where you can, you know, to say no to crowded days and yes to peace. And it takes, you know, it's easier for me now to say no to crowded days because I'm not trying to get the kids to every program and all that type of thing, you know. So I know how hard it is for those who are in the thick of child rearing, you know. And we can just simplify in pretty simple ways, actually. One thing that I've tried to do for years is not to schedule appointments during December. Yeah. I mean, you know, just don't schedule them unless it's an absolutely necessary, you can't get the appointment any other time and it's a necessary appointment or it's an emergency type thing. But don't add extra appointments, you know, don't add extra commitments to your schedule from the get-go. Another thing that we can do to try to simplify is just don't try to do everything, you know, like the normal daily things like the regular cleaning that you might do or the regular meal prep that you might do. Simplify. Do super simple meals, you know, allow for takeout if you need to, you know. You don't have to wash the sheets on the bed every 1 week, every 2 weeks. I mean, you know, there are some things you can skip for a week, you know, all of those types of things. So if we can simplify those things, it helps simplify gift giving where possible. And I know that can be hard to do. That's hard for me to do. But one thing I did that is kind of might be a helpful idea, because I know some families, you know, like they do a stocking for every member of the family. And then as you get older and your kids are married and they have kids, and then you're adding, you know, you could add all kinds of stockings you're trying to fill. And that's fine for some people. Some people find so much joy in it, you know, and love having all the stockings on the fireplace and everything. For me, it was one way to simplify. I just used the stockings that my girls had and I made it their family stocking. And so everybody's gift goes, you know, their little gift goes in the family stocking. So that's just one way that you could simplify, adjust it to your own family, you know, and find a way to simplify gift giving a little bit. So any way that you can find to simplify is what I would suggest.
You know, Cheryl, I feel like somebody out there listening is going to realize that, hey, you know you need to simplify, and Cheryl just gave you permission to do it. Not only that, she encouraged you to do it. This is your sign that this is the year to do that. And, you know, I think about, I shared at the beginning, Cheryl, my love of Christmas comes from my sweet granny who went to be with Jesus a few years ago now. But every Christmas, she would get all of the girls in the family the same thing and all of the boys in the family the same thing. Maybe it was like a little tumbler. Maybe it was like a cookbook. It was something very, very simple. And then she would have a little gift card to a store on it and there. And it was beautiful. It was absolutely so sweet and so special for her to go and to do that and to know that she had saved her money. She didn't have a lot of resources to do that all year, every year. But I look forward to that so much so that even though she's passed away, my family still gives me that same gift from Granny every Christmas, which I love. We'll be back with more Christmas for the Heart with Cheryl Barker. See you on the other side of this break.
The mission of American Family Association is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Further, AFA believes this ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on the earth, belongs to God, and AFA's role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. When you hear this
is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Baby Jesus, born in a stable, a humble Savior's birth. You live left your throne in heaven above to live here on the earth. Baby Jesus lying in a manger crying for the world. And the angels told the shepherds of the good news for us all. Hallelujah, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem.
Welcome back, friends. That is Born in Bethlehem by Third Day. And today we are Christmasing it up. We are talking about Christmas for the Heart by Cheryl Barker. This is a beautiful 25-day devotional that it helps you reclaim the beauty and the wonder of the season. And here's the good news. It's not too late. It is absolutely not too late. Christmas is not here yet. You can slow down, you can simplify, and you can refocus your heart and your attention on what really matters. And I want to share with you that this devotional is actually something that I am using in my own private quiet time during this Christmas season, and I have already been so encouraged. There are so many wonderful, beautiful things in here that Cheryl has shared with us, and I want to share, if it's okay with you, Cheryl, one of the poems that you wrote that I think is so beautiful, and especially to know that this was born out of the way that God gifted you, and even writing poetry in the seventh grade with your parents encouraging it and nurturing that seed that was growing to now bless us all today. In this devotional, you'll find some really great reflection, encouragement, scriptures. It gives Christmas wisdom, a Christmas prayer, an opportunity to say a Christmas prayer, looking maybe at Christmas past and then Christmas present, and then Christmas merrymaking, and it gives you some ideas for something to do that really points you to the reason for the season. But one of the poems in here is called The Cries of Christmas, and I thought this was so beautiful, and let me share it with you. It says, "Something in us yearns for Christmas, for contentment, joy, and goodwill. And so we try to make it happen, our hearts we hope to fill. December finds us dashing around, trying to do the expected things, but Christmas cries, there's something more, something the Christ child brings. Yes, think back to Bethlehem. Recall that night of all nights when life was forever changed by his birth, when God's love soared to new heights. The Son of God, why did he come? Why leave heaven's glory behind? He came for you. He came for me. No greater love we'll ever find. The Bible teaches we all have sinned. The Savior each of us needs. So Christmas cries, call out to him. Receive forgiveness. Be free." And then it's followed by Acts 16:31. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Cheryl, that's beautiful. And I tell you, I literally got goosebumps just thinking, what kind of Christmas could a family have as they're sitting around at night and they take time to open this book or open any Advent resource, but this, and read that to their family, what that would do to help reset hearts, to help change minds, and to help people really reclaim the beauty and the wonder of the season. I just wonder what that would be like. And I wonder what you have wondered about that, about people who are reading this book and reading the words that you have put here. What do you hope that they will get out of this resource that you've so beautifully created, Christmas for the Heart?
Well, I hope that they will, that it will help them draw close to Jesus. I hope that will help them give him the praise that he's due. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you know, that it will help them voice their praise, that it will help some say yes to Jesus, you know, and ask him to be their Savior. I'm hoping for that. I hope that it might bring healing where healing is needed, you know, that there may be one particular chapter, or like you said, a poem, or it could be a little story, a little illustration in one of the reflections, you know, that just hits them right where they have a point of healing needed. And so I'm hoping for several things, you know, with the book, that it really does help them slow down and focus on Jesus and reclaim that beauty and wonder.
One of the things that I love about it is the Christmas merrymaking. This is the last little charge in each day, in each daily devotional. And one of the ones that's in here, I'll just give readers and or listeners an example of what they would read. It says, join with others this Christmas season to spread the carols of Christmas across the land. Sing in your church or community's Christmas musical or cantata, or plan a caroling party for your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. Include others in brainstorming, planning the details, and have a marvelous time sharing the joy of Jesus's birth with others. You will have a merry holiday, blessing to many while being blessed yourself in the process. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that really doesn't require a lot of planning. Maybe it does. I have always been in the Christmas, you know, at Christmas worship ministry, and I love being part of church productions and Christmas choirs and all of that. Like, just bring all of the choirs. I love that. But one of the most meaningful memories I ever had, Cheryl, was just a group of friends who got together. We all piled in a van. We had bought some little, you know, Christmas hats from the, like, Santa hats and things like that from the dollar store. We had just a little pitch pipe, and we went around. We asked our church for a list of people who were homebound, who were in their homes, and we just showed up on their door, and we just sang whatever they asked us to sing. And it was, is still to this day, Cheryl, remains one of my most favorite Christmas memories. We had planned to be out for an hour. We ended up staying out about four hours, because it was such a blessing just to see that little gesture. Now, this wasn't anything that we had prepared, that we had practiced. It was just us just showing up, and, you know, maybe the harmonies were on and maybe they won't, but it was so special, because even we were singing Away in a Manger. One of the people at the house, they had asked us to sing Away in a Manger. And they got tears in their eyes. And then they shared with us that it was their relative who had penned the lyrics for the second verse of Away in a Manger. So to show up, it was just God working in that little act of obedience. So I would love for you to share more about the merrymaking challenges, charges, just, you know, fun things that you have for Christmas merrymaking that are part of this book, this Advent resource, Christmas for the Heart.
Well, each one ties into whatever the theme for the particular chapter is. And one thing that I was going to try to mention at some point, and I'm glad you asked about it, because they're fun things, they're meaningful things. It could be a meaningful thing that is just kind of like for you, but it's also, it can also be to reach out to others. But one thing that I don't want it to do is add more pressure to people when they see this Christmas merrymaking, like, oh my gosh, I've got to do that too. You know, mm-hmm. These are in early, fairly early on. And in fact, one of the editors during the editing stage of the book talked about, you know, I love the Christmas merrymaking activities and I love the ideas, but, you know, do we want to put additional pressure? What, how can we deal with that? And so I added something in one of the early chapters of the book about don't let the Christmas merrymaking activities, you know, cause you to feel more pressure or add to that stress. Just, you know, do what works for you. Maybe you'll choose just a couple this Christmas season to incorporate into your family's life or to do, and you can save the ideas for future Christmas seasons. Don't let it be a source of pressure. So that's one thing I want to tell your listeners too, you know, that everybody listening, don't let it weigh you down, make it feel like one more thing on your to-do list, but truly let it be something that adds to the meaningful part of your Christmas season that will be some of those special memories like you talked about.
I think that is so encouraging, because you talk about, you know, just thinking in your circle of someone who is in need, someone who may be lonely or maybe needs food or whatever their need may be, meeting that need. But Cheryl, I think sometimes we just have to let go of this Pinterest, you know, perfection, kind of thinking that everything that we do has to be something that is worthy of going on social media. And I've shared this story before, but I remember going to my youngest son's kindergarten party for school, and I walked in. I felt so overwhelmed. This was right at the beginning of the Pinterest, you know, thing, which some of you are gifted in that way. And I am not going to knock on that at all, because what I've learned is I need those people, Cheryl. I need those people very badly to be my friends, because they will make the beautiful Christmas cookies while I will sit and listen to their hearts and give them wise counsel when they're carrying something that's a burden. We've got to all share our gifts. So I want to make sure that people know that. But I had to just let that go and think, okay, for me to try to make some of these monogrammed cookies that have been made here, like, it's just going to be a Pinterest fail. That is not my giftedness. That is just going to create a lot of pressure for me. And then it ends up that's what happened in my home. Like, I'm generating this pressure cooker of, you know, I'm just trying to make Christmas perfect for you, and it's anything but. So I think sometimes we just need to look and to lean into where we are gifted, what we can do, and then sometimes just let go of the pressure that it doesn't need to be perfect. Sometimes it may be just taking a pot of soup to a neighbor. That's nothing fancy. That's not in artfully presented. It's just soup that's nourishing for their body and the company that's nourishing for their soul. I think sometimes we just need to let go of the pressure in that way. Have you found that to be true, or have you found that to be in your life?
Yes, definitely. You know, to be able to let go of the pressure and do things in a simple way. And you might discover with your family, if you still have your kids at home and everything, you might mention an idea, or if you're reading through the book together, or even if you're just sharing some of the Christmas merrymaking activities, depending on the age of your kids and everything, there might be something that their eyes just light up over, you know, and then other things that they're like, oh, Mom, you know. And so, you know, it might be choosing those things that you sense that they're going to love to do that, you know, and so it might be being selective about what you do.
It absolutely might be. And honestly, I really love your poetry in here, Cheryl. And I want to share one other one that I had marked. There's so many. They're so good. But let me share with our listeners another poem that's in here. And again, there's so many. I feel like as I'm reading your words, Cheryl, it just feels like I'm sitting with a friend who's just giving me such comforting words of wisdom that's just reminding me. I feel like you're just saying, like, okay, Jessica, come sit down. Let me remind you of the true meaning of Christmas and give you some encouragement. And this one that you have is this one that I really loved is called Christmas Past. And you say, Christmas Past is ever intertwined with each new Christmas in my life. Maybe a sight or simply a sound transports me in seconds back in time, deep in memory, to moments cherished and held tightly, the memories replayed for the joy of it. The Christmas tree tied to Dad's truck, freshly cut from a customer's farm, our biggest socks for Santa to fill, Christmas Eve peeks under cover of darkness, the whole family crammed in the pickup's cab, traveling through snow and bitter cold to feast on Grandma's holiday dinner, to be their family and bring them joy. This rich store of remembrance never seems to fade as year after year, my mind is flooded by first one memory that triggers another until my heart is overflowing with a lifetime of Christmas joy. My Christmas past is, in fact, my Christmas present. And I think this is really beautiful. And for me, Cheryl, it's hard because there are a lot of Christmases that have some really difficult memories that come with those. And I was reminded of a quote from Clara Barton, who was a nurse who actually started the American Red Cross during the Civil War here. And someone was talking about something in the past that was really difficult for her. And she was acting like she didn't know what they were talking about. And they said, surely you remember this terrible thing that happened. And she looked at them, as the story goes, and says, no, I distinctly remember forgetting that. And I thought, yeah, that's what I need to do, is forget those things that maybe are troublesome, that are painful from the past, and to think about those things that are beautiful and to bring those forward into Christmas. And so I think whether you have a Christmas trove of wonderful memories or whether you have some that maybe are not so much there, just choosing that from those good memories from the past to be your family's Christmas present was beautiful. Well, Cheryl, we're at the end of our time together, but you have such a comforting and encouraging presence on social media. I would love for you to share with our listeners how they can engage with you more and continue to hear more of your heart for Christmas.
Well, the easiest way to connect with me or to find me is CherylBarker.net, because that's my website. And there you'll find all my social media buttons, you know, that they can quickly connect to. But they can find me on Facebook, on Instagram, even Pinterest.
Yes.
There, but I don't have a huge following there or anything like that, but mainly Facebook and Instagram, Goodreads. I love to look through Goodreads and be connected to people there, and even LinkedIn. So something for, you know, a lot of different interests.
CherylBarker.net. The book is called Christmas for the Heart, 25 Devotions, Reclaiming the Beauty and the Wonder of the Season. Are you going to join me in making this your Christmas Advent devotional? I would love to hear from you. I would love to know there are other listeners out there who are reading through these beautifully crafted reflections. And wherever you are in the Christmas chaos, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, even during Christmas and especially during Christmas. I'll see you here next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.